One day near the city of Jerusalem, a father sadly looked into the eyes of his children. He said, "The time for sacrifice has come. Our sins must be covered. Our wrongs must be atoned." The younger one said, "I don't understand why our sins can't be forgiven without the killing of my lamb." The father took the young child by the hand and said, "There will come a day when the Lion out of Judah will become the Lamb of God and take our sins away. There will come a day. No more sacrifice is needed. Perfect grace will be completed. Oh, my child, there will come a day." One day in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But he knew the plan of God would have to be. And in just a few short hours, he would die on Calvary. His humanity cried, "Lord, any other way." His divinity rose up and said, "This price I'll have to pay." And just before the Father turned away, he said, "There will come a day. Your defeat will turn to victory, for the cross that you carry bears the weight of all the world. There will come a day when the blood stains in your hands declare the hope for every man. Oh, my child, there will come a day." Each day that we live among sin's awful curse, the evidence of darkness seems to only get much worse. We cry to God in anguish, "Lord, how long will you allow this evil world to just go on and on?" But all of us who've made this God our choice can listen in our spirit, and we can hear his voice. He calls our downcast souls to rise. Rejoice, rejoice, he says, "There will come a day that reveals the King of glory, and the mighty name of Jesus will forever be proclaimed. There will come a day, no more night, no sin, no sorrow, no more longing for tomorrow. Oh, my child, there will come a day. No more night, no sin, no sorrow, no more longing for tomorrow. Oh, my child, there will come a day. There
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Kind of a little echoing here. Thank you, Jesus. There will come a day. Could you imagine? The day of the Lord is going to come. The rapture. Well, he took all his children out of here. That's why it says in Luke 21:36, pray you always that you will be counted worthy to escape all these things to stand before the Son of Man. The rapture is going to be awesome, where God will take everything that it belongs to him, to himself. But that's not my message. God has given me a different one. It took a while for me to come through what he wants me, but I'll try what he laid on my heart to bring it out. I will call it, do you have fellowship with Jesus? It's awesome as a Christian if you do not communicate with the one that saved you. You're missing something. He saved you for a reason, not just to save you and put you on the shelf and do nothing. He saved you to communicate and to have fellowship with you and with me. That's his heart's desire. That's what he wants from every child of God. And the reason why, because he put his spirit within you, into the holiest of all, where he saved you, God the Father saved you, born again by his spirit to communicate and have fellowship with you. That is the power and that is the anointing that we have from God. If we totally and completely cultivate it, and you have to work on it. There is an enemy out there that hates us with a passion. He wants to rob us of this foundation, of this salvation, of this fellowship that we have. That's why salvation is a free gift that God gives you and me. But when it comes to serving and to have fellowship with the Lord God, that's where you have to work on. And before we get into this message, let's rise and ask God for blessings. Our dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. I thank you for your precious word. Lord Jesus, this word will always be true. It always will be our anchor. It will never fail. It never does fail. It always bring out the truth. It's the good and also the bad. You do not hold back any punches. You tell it the way it is. So I ask you, Lord God, that you will anoint my lips, that my heart will be open to your voice as I speak this word. And bless the listeners. I ask you, Lord, to bless this service in the mighty, precious, holy name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I will take as an example two related figures in the Old Testament, how you can get a lot of stuff out of those two. There's two kings. And if you look closely at it, one chose the way of God. One chose the way of the devil, even though God tried through his life to talk to him, but to no avail, it did not register. He didn't care. He was out to please men and to himself. And those two figures are King Saul and King David. Two big differences, two big kings. One is a devil in my book, one was a saint. But when God chose Saul as a king, he went after to prove to mankind men's heart. That's what I see. To prove to mankind what a person is without God that doesn't care. Sure, in the beginning he loved God, as Samuel said, yeah, he was a man who was taller than any other man. He tried, but after a while pride came in, he became arrogant. It's me, myself, and I, and nobody else. He failed in a couple of occasions where Samuel Pacific told him, before you make a move, before you want to do something, make sure you wait for me. I will tell you what to do, instructions. And if you or me don't follow the instructions of God's word and seek the face of God and having fellowship with God, we're missing it. You're going to miss it. The devil is out there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we can see when King Saul didn't listen, what happened? He turned to devils. Excuse me. He turned to do exactly what his heart was. Anything against God, he was anti-God, he was anti-Christ. When Samuel told him he has to wait, often, when he tried to kill David through all his lifespan, God tried to intervene there when he went to Ramah to Samuel. He was slain in the power of the Holy Ghost. Why did nothing happen to that person? He was not interested in God. He didn't want fellowship with God. He wanted his own way. And that's the tragic. If we do not seek God, even as a Christian, you can become very dim. You can become very stale. It's not that you're not a Christian, but because you become very ineffective. You become helpless because you are not connected to the source to have that fellowship with. And that is with his son, Jesus Christ. Because he longs to touch you. He wants to touch you with his spirit. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to bless us immensely that you can't even hold it. That's the way God operates. But the thing is, the responsibility is up to us. God is ready to help. God is ready to bless. But do we really want it? Or do you want to go our own way? Do you want, I want to live for this world. I want to have a party. I love to have parties. I love to do that. I don't want to give up my ways of life. I love it too much. Maybe there's something wrong if you love it too much. Maybe you're not born again. See, if you're not earning for that fellowship with Jesus, maybe there's something missing. I know for a fact when I got born again, I was hungry for the Word of God. I could not stop reading God's Word. It was in me. It's automatic. It doesn't come with a push. Sure, you have to work on it. But after a while, it works in your spirit. It comes out. Everything, you got to fill yourself up. And all of a sudden, when God wants to use you, he can use you because you are connected to him. And when King David came along, all of a sudden, when the life of King Saul, what happened to the end is tragic. Instead of seeking the Lord, he went after and seek the face of the devil, in which is to find help. That's why God killed him, it says, because he did not seek the face of God before he died, because he was totally and completely, he had no hope. He lost hope of all because the hope of his salvation was not there. He couldn't take it. So I'm warning you, if you live for the devil and you come to your end, make sure you know where you're standing before God. Because it's not easy. If you do not ground yourselves in the Word of God, you're going to miss it. We take an example out of King David now, a man after God's own heart. He had fellowship with the Father. He has fellowship with his son. The words he was writing is just awesome. It will bless you. Because he loved his Creator. He knew God personally. But the problem is with King David. He knew the grace of God. He knew he was forgiven. And he was forgiven. Trust me. He knew how far he can go. Sometimes he stepped over a line. God had to pull him back. And he had to suffer the consequences. But the thing is with King David, he loved his Creator. He had that fellowship with God. That was his heart's desire, is to know him. That's why he had to say, Lord, try my reins and see if there is any evil or iniquity in me. Can we do that? Can we trust God in that source? That we just let ourselves go, so Lord, I know myself. Lord, if there's any iniquity or wicked way in me, I want to know. That's what I cry out to God. I want to know. I want to know that Jesus He sees everything. If there's anything I don't, it's hidden in there, let me know so I can repent and totally call on my name. Because Jesus will forgive you. All we need to do is acknowledge that we are the sinner. God is the only one that can help us. And we need that help. And without God, we are nothing. Without that fellowship then, that we come into a fellowship with Jesus. Those who fellowship with Jesus. Those who fellowship with the saints. And I will read it and prove it in the Word of God. What it really means to fellowship. What God means by fellowship with Him. It's so important that we give ourselves over to the Lord. Because He's the only one that knows you and me. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what you and me will do in the next minute or 100 years from now. He knows everything. Because to Him, everything is open. He is awesome. He's God Almighty. So as we, let's turn to 1 John 1:3. I show you in Scriptures what the Scripture is saying us here. 1 John 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And the minute you fellowship with Him, the minute you get up in the morning every day, you can do that every day. You don't have to just stop. You can do it as you work in your spirit, is to have fellowship. Not all the time, because this is, we are here in a place where it's impossible sometimes, but you can do it. We have fellowship with Jesus in the morning when you get up. That's the first thing you do, is praise Him, worship Him, honor Him, read His Word, fill yourself up with the Word of God. And in 1 John chapter 1, 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. That's why He can tell us the truth. There is no darkness in God. There is no evil in God. When you fellowship with Him, He will tell you the way it is, because the darkness cannot comprehend His light. He will, it's just automatically. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk where? In darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The importance with coming together with the church, with God's people. You fellowship, you get strengthened, you strengthen your spirit. All your problems, they disappear, because in some way, the way, it's like washing each other's feet. You don't understand it, but that's the way it works. Because we relate to each other, we say our problems. All of a sudden, we open ourselves to each other. We trust each other. This is the problem I have. All of a sudden, the blood of Jesus cleanses everything. All you need to do is confess. You don't have to tell your deepest sin to a person. No, nothing to do with that. It's a daily walk that we have fellowship with that person or with Jesus. We're open. We're open book. Don't try to hide anything. And the last word and the last verse I have in 1 John 1:3, it says, no, 1 John 4:6, sorry. We are of God. Now he that heareth God heareth us. Hear me. Those who listen by radio, listen what the Word of God says. I didn't make this up. If you claim you're a Christian and you have no fellowship, or you cannot stomach a person that says he's born again, oh, I don't believe in this person. I don't believe what he's preaching. I don't care. And you say you're a Christian. What does the Word of God says here? We are of God. He that knoweth God, heareth us. He that is not of God, heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's as simple as that. The Word of God is very, very simple. When you come across a person that says he's a Christian, something they don't agree with you, their lifestyle is different from your lifestyle, think. You don't have to judge them. Trust me. The spirit that is within you will convict them. And that's the way it works. You don't have to say much. Jesus is the only one that knows his heart. I don't know your heart. All I can do is preach the word of God and let the word of God do its work. We don't have to help the word of God. We don't have to help God. He knows exactly what's in man's heart. Just when Samuel was there to anoint a king for Israel on David, he said, oh, this guy, he's tall. God said, hold it. That is not the way I look at people. I have despised him. Because God looked at his heart. So I have chosen a king out of the sons of Jesse that is after my own heart. That's what God seeks this morning. He's seeking your heart to have fellowship with you, to seek all the time. He's always, always seeking because he longs for that relationship and that fellowship with him.
Good message, Brother Steve. Fellowship with God. You know what? I heard a preacher this week. There's one thing to believe in Jesus. Believe the word. There's another thing to know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Believing is what gets you into heaven. You believe in the cross. You believe in the finished work. And boom. You're settled in heaven. But getting to know that Savior is something else. It simply makes things different. The demons that used to harass you, after a while, suddenly lose interest in you because you don't entertain them. Why don't you entertain them? Because you entertain God. They don't like it. Hallelujah. Anyway, over the last couple of weeks, I've been listening to eschatology. Everybody knows here what eschatology is. Most of them don't. It's end time preaching. And I, for some reason, have been interested in end-time preaching since I've become a Christian. What will happen? I want to know what's in store for us. First thing I found out after I was saved, there's something called the rapture. I had to get to know that. Then I found out in the Word of God that it could be imminent at any second. Peter said, hasten the day of the Lord. We're going to see Jesus come. Regardless of how many naysayers there are, regardless how many would say, oh, we've been waiting 2,000 years. One day, it's going to change. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we will be with Jesus. But we had these people, the rapture will be during the middle of the tribulation. Or the rapture will be at the end of the tribulation. The question is, what good is a rapture at the end of the tribulation when we all come back to clean this mess up? And a mess it is. All you have to do is watch politics and you know the meanness of men's hearts. You know how far they go trying to meet their own ideas and agendas. In the end, they'll all fail. Why? Because the Word of God is written. It'll go according to the Word of God. And nobody's going to detour him from his plans. Hitler didn't. Mussolini didn't. Mao Zedong couldn't. Neither could Hitler. And neither can Trudeau. He's a funny one, eh? Trudeau. I'm telling you, he's the joke of everyone, not only the young kids anymore, but of the whole world. Then we have Biden, who for some reason God put there for what? To be the laughingstock of the world. This is what you choose. Watch him. He can't even hardly make a sentence. And he's supposed to be the leader of the free world. What a joke. What an offense to the Americans. What an offense to us. Ours is no better. He's the same guy. Anyway, the question is, will the rapture happen? Will we go up when God calls? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. So regardless of how those despots operate, you know in your heart, tomorrow I can be out of here. What a good day that'll be. It says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Not disappear. Caught up. To do what? To meet the dead in Christ. These which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And I like this. You don't find it too often in the Word of God. It says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, when it talks about the coming back of Jesus for his bride, that's the only two times I find where it says, comfort one another. He will say, comfort my people, but he does not say, comfort one another. We're supposed to comfort each other. Jesus can come back today. Yesterday, somebody told me, be positive about things. I said, I am. I believe in the rapture. Very positive. Hallelujah. How more positive can you be than to believe that Jesus can come now? Not tomorrow. Now. Boom. We are out of here. And then it says, the coming back. When we'll come back with him. Different story. We don't go up to meet him in the clouds. The dead in Christ don't rise. Why? Because they're risen already. Those who are alive, they're going up They're not coming down. They're going up to do what? They're going to have a party for about 7 years. And hallelujah. I think I'm going to have a glass of wine. Hallelujah. No 7 years. Ham sandwiches. I don't know. Maybe it'll be a steak or two. It says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Those who don't believe that animals will be in heaven, the first thing that comes out of there is a white horse. Hallelujah. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he does judge. And not this time, it's not love. He makes war. War against who? When you study the Bible, it talks about making war again against them that are destroying the earth. Are they destroying the earth? Yes. How do you know? Look at the gas pumps. What they tell you to pay when you put it in your car, where you could be riding for free. They are making you pay for what God already has given you. We're cleaning up the earth. How are they cleaning up the earth? They're making sure their pockets are getting fatter and fatter. And this it says, he will come to make war. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which followed him, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. So not only one horse in heaven, quite a few. An army is riding them. And they were clothed in linen, white and clean. I wonder who those people are. Were they angels? I don't think so. How would you know? Well, the Bible talks for itself. When you read this chapter, you will find out before they came to this earth with God, God dressed them up. And I will read you the scripture where he dresses them up. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage supper of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in what? Fine linen, clean and white, the same clothing those people were riding that were coming back with Jesus. Now, what is the bride, the wife of Christ, clothed with? Fine linen, clean and white. It was given to her. They didn't earn it. It was given to them. Hallelujah. They were granted that beautiful clothes. It says, and the armies in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, clean and white. So here we got our answer. The bride of Christ is coming back to clean up this mess. And they're coming back with Jesus riding on a war horse, not a donkey, on a war horse. And let me tell you, we'll have fun doing it. So their dress, it was given to them. It was granted that she should be arrayed. nothing about earning that clean, white linen, but was given to them. How did they earn it? Through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you earned that clean linen? I'm dressed in a clean linen. It is called the blood of Jesus. And God will look at that. It's not doing all sorts of stuff. It's just turning to Him by faith and believing what He did for you on the cross. What He did, what did He do? He took your sin, my sin, upon Himself and paid for them. Now that's a friend, I tell you, paying for what I owe. He paid for it that I may spend my eternity rejoicing with Him. And let me tell you, it's gonna be an awesome day when these scriptures come to pass. And it will happen. Hallelujah. Can you give Him a shout of hallelujah? Thank you.
There is a place I read about in God's holy word. It's built upon the mountainside, the New Jerusalem. The walls around that city are in layers of pure jewels. 12 gates along the walls, and every one a single pearl. The glory of that city would blind these human eyes. More glorious still would be the face of Jesus Christ our King. In garments pure and white as snow, we'll gather round God's throne and join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. Inside the city walls, I'm told, are mansions of pure gold. Where death is banished for all time, we'll nevermore grow old. We'll walk beside the river with the lion and the lamb. All worries will be gone and every pain be left behind. The glory of that city would blind these human eyes. More glorious still would be the face of Jesus Christ, my King. In garments pure and white as snow, we'll gather round God's throne and join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. In garments pure and white as snow, we'll gather round God's throne and join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home.